Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is how it works.
We haven't been on like a big label. We haven't been like cool. We're not, you know, but like the people are showing up. So I don't get it.
I asked you last time, why is hardcore bigger out there?
Dude, I don't know. It's funny too, because even in America, it's like it appears big sometimes online. Like on Instagram, hardcore can appear big in the States. Mm-hmm. But it's like the fests are big, but then the shows outside of a couple vans, like they're still doing 150 to 250, maybe 350 kids.
Use EMG pickups because they help you get the heaviest tone possible. Head over to emgpickups.com and use my promo code HEAVY at checkout and get 15% off. And then once you write the heaviest song of all time, head over to distrokid.com/VIP/Garza and save 30% off your membership to get all your songs on all streaming platforms. And now to the heaviest podcast of all time.
They're my adopted team. I've been in California.
Adopted a football team?
I've been in California more than half my life now at this point. So
at this point, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like an AFC team versus NFC. So it's not like that deep, you know?
Yeah.
It works.
But still, you need your Monday Night Football. People that love football, dude.
Dude, it's wild. Yeah.
I don't get it.
You don't get what? Do you do any sport?
I played T-ball when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much, I was killing it, dude.
Yeah.
I was a sick second base.
I mean, to be fair, the ball is sitting right there. The nature of T-ball.
Okay.
It's on a platter for you.
Is it a platter?
It's on a platter. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. T-ball. It's kind of
set up for success, you know?
That is true, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But it's still hard.
That's true.
It's hard. I mean, to take a swing, it's hard.
Yeah.
Golf.
Also true.
It's right there.
I'm not a baseball guy.
No.
I can't do it, dude.
You're just straight football.
I mean, obviously unpopular opinion here in America.
Let's go.
I get that it requires an intense skill set. No doubt. I don't have the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. Maybe more skilled in football. But if you can be like an active participant in the game and be like eating, mm-hmm. just relaxing, it doesn't feel like a sport. Like the people in the outfield that are just chilling, you know, chewing or doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't get it.
I don't get it, dude. That's like it's hard to hit a ball going 100 miles an hour. No doubt. Hard to throw a ball going 100 miles an hour. Chilling in the outfield, just snacking.
Huh?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. It's not for me. I don't get it.
That might be the most boring position. Because the three of them, the right, center, and left. You're just out there.
You're just out there, dude. You're chilling.
That's a lot of time to think about your life.
Also true, yeah.
Crazy, because you're like, you spent your whole life trying to be in the major leagues, and you're finally there, and you're just chilling, dude.
Golf would be sick. Like, if I could choose to be great at any sport, it'd be golf. Paid hell, like, nutso money.
Yeah.
Chilling. There's not a lot of, like, physical expectations, you know?
No.
You can look kind of however you want to look.
If you want that John Daly look.
Hey, dude, John Daly, it's exactly what I was thinking. That dude was balling.
Dude, I should go for the John Daly look.
Dude, smashing beers mid-game.
Well, it's to do what he does, it's like impossible because you need to be precise with your swing.
I know.
And what you're drinking.
It
makes no sense.
Yeah, he's a G.
I can't even write and fucking drink.
Nah, he's a G.
You know, before the band, I tried to try it out for the golf team.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted to be either, because at that time, I mean, oh, fuck. I've been playing golf since I was, like, in diapers, dude.
Are you good?
Yeah.
You're, like, decent?
Decent, yeah, if I stuck to it.
Oh, shit.
But I was playing really consistently until high school, and a freshman year I tried out for the golf team, and I legit wanted to be in, like, the PGA Tour. It's like, this is my game plan. Boom. I want to do it. And I tried out for the golf team, and I almost made it. But it was a weird scene. It was like, I'm trying to put it in like a nice way. Where
was this?
This was in Corona. Like,
gotcha.
Corona High. Trying out for a golf team. It was what's the word? Snubby.
Yeah.
Scene. I was like, it's not my thing. I was already playing guitar for a couple years at that point. So like, that was kind of like, okay, I'm gonna put this inside. I'm not gonna.
It was the same. It was like I played sports when I was young, and then once I got a hold of like skating and music, I was just like, I'm not going to practice.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, I'm learning how to play Brain Stew. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to take me all night. I can't go to practice, you know? Yep. Not going to happen.
And that simple decision that you made has taken you here. Isn't that weird? Hey, you know what? I'm doing this. Now I'm doing this.
It's a beautiful and exotic Santa Ana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You made it, dude.
Made it.
You're in Santa Ana now.
Box checked. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I mean.
But I do love Santa Ana, though.
Santa Ana, for those of you don't know, real quick, Santa Ana is connected to Anaheim, which, I mean, that's five, so House of Blues from here is like 5 miles away.
Yep.
And I just saw Lionheart there.
Dude, that was fun.
It was cool.
That was great.
First time I've ever seen your band.
Yeah. Shout out to Bleeding Through, too. Brandon's a G. That guy puts us on. I was joking about it with him backstage. They have no reason to put us on. Like, it arguably doesn't even fit, and they certainly don't need us, you know?
Sure.
But I think for the last, dude, 10 or 12 years that they've played local shows, I think we've played every single one. Like,
that's true, because you guys were also on the Chain Show.
We were also on the Chain Show a year ago.
Wow.
And before that, we played, they did Observatory in Santa Ana, right down the street.
You're right.
We did that with them.
What the fuck?
Dude, I'm not joking. We've played like every single like SoCal Bleeding Through show for the last 10 or 12 years.
Is he making it for lost time? What was the?
Nah, I mean, we've known each other for a long time, and he was actually one of our, was he our first man? I can't remember. He may have been. Yeah, I think he was our first manager, like many, many moons ago, 2010 or so, or maybe he was our second manager. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. He was our manager at some point. Dude, he may have been our first manager. But, and like, he's just been a friend of the show ever since then. You know what I mean? He managed us for a little bit when he was trying to do the like band guy turns manager thing, you know?
That's tough.
Yeah. I think he was like working with Dog or something like back in the day. I can't remember. Like, whatever, some Orange County thing. Yeah. And he probably only managed us for 6 months or something. But then we just stayed close and he's always hooked up the band. It's crazy.
It's sick.
Dude, it's awesome. Like, get to go play, sold out. House of Blues, like
that was a big moment, dude. I was like, damn, it was crazy to see you guys and them in that room.
It was awesome. That was like a perfect night, dude. It was sick. And it was cool for us too to play a show like that. You know, like on, I guess, that side of the spectrum, you know, in front of those type of people. It's obviously different for us out here. So it was cool. Room was singing along, like we had a great set. It was, can't ask for anything more, but wouldn't have been there without Brandon and the rest of Bleeding Through. So,
shout out to Brandon, man.
Dude, it's like, it's crazy.
It was, dude, so it was nice. A big moment. You guys are jamming. I was just, for some reason, I was just locked into Jay Scott.
Oh, dude.
I was just looking at him play drums. Sometimes you're just, drummers, they just look cooler.
It's true.
So I was just like looking at him like, damn, that's sick.
I've been salty for a long time, dude. I don't feel like Jay ever got the credit or gets the credit, you know, deserves. He's,
Jay's sick, dude.
I'm glad that you brought that up, dude, because he's, like, in our world, I haven't seen anybody be able to compete with that. That kid is awesome.
It's a fucking beast. I was just looking at him. Dude. I was just locked into him.
He's a crusher.
Like, I was just loving him. Damn, he's, because I could
dude,
tell
trades
that he was
off,
locked
open
in.
Hand to, like, yeah he, like, he like, kills damn. Him. He's got a bunch of, yeah. He's
fucking cool, man.
He's locked in on the groove. He's a groove master, dude. Jay is the man.
He is.
He and I were just joking the other day. He turns 35 on the day that we fly to Europe. When do you guys fly to Europe, by the way?
a few days prior, like on the...
We fly on the 10th.
The 10th.
You fly on the 10th.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you guys play London. We get out there to just practice because we don't practice. We don't live by each other. So anyway, we fly on February 10th, which is also Jay's birthday. Shout out, Jay. Love you, little guy. And he's turning 35. And we were joking because he was like, dude, I've been in the band since I was... He's been in the band since he was 15.
15?
Yeah,
35,
dude.
20 years,
it's crazy.
Dude.
It's my little dude. Yeah. It's nuts.
How did you guys not kill each other?
I have no idea. I love Jay. Jay's my guy. Jay's my guy. He, yeah. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else, obviously.
Because it's rare when the drummer sticks around.
Yeah.
You know, drummers
that's
have,
true.
Have that. They have that extra, if that makes sense. And it's not like a singer extra. It's just an extra something.
I'm curious what a singer extra is. I want to dive into that. But
yeah.
I feel like a good drummers are hard to keep because they're hard to find. So other people always poach them.
Yeah.
Or they do like the touring drummer thing or the studio drummer thing. Like they've always got all these extra little spots they can go, I feel like. And then it takes them away, you know? But Jay's, that's my guy, dude. I smile thinking about it. I love it. That's my guy. He's incredible too. So I hope people get that out of the show too.
Yeah,
I mean, you brought that up. That's cool.
Yeah, you guys obviously have the like the chemistry.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah, we rock together, 20
dude. 20 years, dude. Rocking.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
That would actually.
I mean, dude, he didn't have his license. You know?
Huh?
He didn't even have a license when he joined.
Oh
the
yeah,
band.
15. Yeah. Huh?
Like I had to go drive and pick him up. You know, to take him to practice.
And that's something about drummers. They tend to be the youngest for some reason. Always get kids. I remember like one of our first bands. We fucking the drummer. His dad lied to us. He was 13, but said he was 15.
Yeah.
He was a baby, dude.
It's crazy, dude.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
This is weird how the worst. But, I mean, yeah, surprised he's still in the band. It's cool.
Yeah. Dude, it's awesome.
You guys obviously did something right with maintaining your friendship.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Yeah.
Because it's easy just to fucking just.
I know.
You just get sick of each other, dude.
I know. He's a rascal, though, dude. He's hilarious. He's like the band joker too, like he's the jester, you know what I mean? He's just like the funny dude. He also like you'll never not see him loading. Like we always joke that every band has 1,000 inside jokes, so this won't be funny to a single other person listening, but like we always joke that he went to like trailer loading school, like because no one else will want to load.
No.
You know, and Jay's like, oh no, it's okay, I should do it, I graduated from like this is what I went to school for, so let me get it, you know. That's like the joke, because the dude's always working, you know? He's just the guy.
That's full. Shout out to Jay, man. You are a fucking sick drummer.
Yeah.
And I was locked in. I had a beer. I was in that perfect, like, state, you know?
I love it.
Where, like, you're not, like... I'll never not have a drink at a show. There's something about having a beer. There's something... I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I kind of just lets down whatever guard I think I have.
Yeah.
Like that subconscious guard. And then you kind of get into the music more, if that makes sense.
And you guys are playing London first, right? I saw the Dome.
Yeah.
The venue's tight.
So I fuck this up all the time, so I put it on the top of my notes.
I'm ready.
So we're going on tour together.
Mm-hmm.
So February, we're going to where? Germany.
Germany, Belgium, Netherlands, France. Czech Republic.
Yeah. Okay.
That could be it.
Yep.
Germany, Belgium, France.
So if you're in any of those places.
Australia. Vienna, Australia.
Austria.
It's pronounced Australia.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's pronounced Australia.
I will take your word for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, if I guarantee you, if you go to these shows, Rob will take off his shirt.
I guarantee you he won't.
I guarantee you he might.
That's a promise.
I guarantee you he might.
I guarantee you I might.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also guarantee you that I won't.
60% of the time it works every time.
Exactly. Exactly. 10 years ago.
It would have.
That would have been a bet I'd make. Yeah, that would have been push your chips in. He's taking a shirt off. Yeah, now? No. No. I eat as much as I can on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's that That's stress eating.
Yeah. Yeah, just pissed. Just fucking, being old and just mad.
It's just weird. It's life gets hard when you get older, though.
I know.
It's just there's like there's something about it. I was listening to you explain new money, old pain.
Oh yeah.
And it's just true.
Yeah, it's crazy. Dude, I post that on Instagram or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was cool. Jacoby from Papa Roach like posted that song like after the album came out and like had a whole thing about it. It was
really
crazy. I was like, what? Yeah.
What do you say?
That he was just like listening to. I think it was like a like he posted a bunch of stuff in the stories and everything, and I was like, holy shit, that's crazy. Like, how the fuck? You know?
That's dope.
I know, it was wild. So yeah, it's not like a single on this, it's like a random song of the album, you know. So yeah, it was an insane moment.
People tend to really attach themselves to those kind of songs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I was stoked about it. It was cool, dude. But yeah.
Isn't that like, doesn't that fucking suck that when you get older, it gets harder to wrestle demons? Is that a thing?
I think it's like the lows are lower because you're tired, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like a lot of it gets easier. Like, I feel like I've done a good job. Like, I've always struggled. Like, I mean, it's pretty well documented. I speak about mental health issues all the time. It's something that I'm passionate about for personal reasons and for just reasons in general. And so field that I've worked in for a very long time as well. So I'm very attached to mental behavioral health as a whole. And so I do enjoy speaking about it. I speak about it a lot on stage, speak about it a lot online. Mm-hmm. But all that is, and my lyrics are obviously all 90% of them revolve around that stuff. And so, yeah, I don't have any problem talking about it. And it's funny. I obviously spent a lot of time thinking about it, and it's interesting. I struggled a lot when I was younger, shaped, like had a pretty big impact on the trajectory of my life for sure. Like a lot of decisions were made during a time where I was dealing with a lot of those demons. But now as I get older, it's almost easier, like, because I feel like you get good at finding your peace and protecting your peace. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not as troubled by a lot of the things that I would have been troubled by in my younger days.
Yeah. You're right. So you get like the two sides. You get like you experience the lows more, and
it's like the mids more, you know? It's like there's more like even, it's more even keeled, I feel like, you know?
Okay.
Maybe I'm just like in a better spot mentally now or something. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Well, when you have a good mental spot, it comes up. Okay, you know, yeah. I feel good. Some days you just wake up, I feel good.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And it's nice having, that's like why I still do the band, because like that's my therapy. That's my outlet. That's where I get to say everything that I can't say elsewhere or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's just, that's so, I think there's a lot of, it's cathartic in that way, you know? Like that's my therapy.
Yeah. And you almost left it.
Yeah. Very temporarily.
Yeah, I know we talked about it last time, but how old were you when that?
That's a good question. Was that 2016? So 28, 29. I don't even. Yeah.
Yeah. It happens in your 20s. You're like, you know, yeah. I'm fucking done with this, dude. Exactly. It's over. No. Exactly. No. Imagine if you would have actually committed to that decision at the time you convinced yourself that this is,
I would be miserable.
Yeah, crazy.
And we don't tour a lot. Like we go to Europe twice a year. We do a few things here and there in the States multiple times a year. Like we don't do a lot. We're obviously not like a full-time band, you know? So it's like, I just need like just a little bit, you know, to be good. So it's like, man, I couldn't imagine not having it. But I didn't think that you could do it like that. Like, I think I had in my mind, like, okay, if we're not going to be a full-time band, if we're not going to go 100,000%, then it's got to be zero. It's like, it's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be all the way or no way.
Yep.
And so, because it's hard to strike a balance. It's hard to do it and still be relevant and still get to do cool things. It's not
true,
you know? So, because there's obviously a lot of bands that have tried that and it didn't work great, you know? And it's like, I didn't want to have that fate. So I don't know. It's just like a weird.
It's weird because you can't predict the future.
Nah, it's so, yeah. It's easier to give up. It's easier to just say, fuck it, like, you know?
Yeah, I always want to give up sometimes. Sometimes, like, creeping ahead, you won't do it, but it kind of ties into that song, New Money, Old Pain. Sometimes I'll, especially driving here, you see, like, you know, homeless people, and like, I always think, like, man, just the responsibility, just fucking being alive, man. I just want to fucking just not worry about money, just be homeless.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, fuck this. But then, like, something, you know, keeps you going.
Yeah.
You know?
You guys are killing it now, though. The new album's awesome. I talked about that last time, actually, too.
Thank you. Through.
I can't remember who I was just telling that to the other day. I was talking to somebody about, because I was talking to somebody about the tour, and I mentioned the new album. I was like, yeah, the new album's insane. Like, I don't even listen to that style of music, you know what I mean? But it's mm-hmm. awesome. Like, it's hard.
Yeah, I have a similar, you know, experience with you. This was like mid-20s. It's like, man, I want to fucking quit, dude.
Yeah.
It's just... But yeah, if that decision actually happened, yeah, you'll be miserable.
Dude.
Be miserable, dude.
You guys have had, I feel like, we've been pretty even, you know? Like, you guys have had crazy highs. You had that moment, obviously, where you kind of changed the style. You know, you dealt with all those people.
It's terrible.
Mitch, obviously. Like, so mm-hmm. many different yeah. highs, so many different lows, so many different weird eras of the band. Like, that would be a much... I feel like your journey has been much more extreme. I'm going to say difficult.
Yeah.
But it's been more extreme. Like, Lionheart's has been pretty... middle, you know, like we're doing great now and that's fantastic, but
yeah.
We haven't experienced all the same like highs and all the same lows that you have.
Yeah.
I could not imagine.
It drove us nutty.
Yeah.
Nutty. Like,
I mean, you
mentally,
guys,
yeah. I was like, nutty. You had to really like control like your thoughts.
I could not imagine. I truly could not imagine because you've experienced like.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just like, you have like the extreme.
Yeah.
Emotions, the lows, the highs.
Totally.
And now you're bouncing like a fucking airplane.
Dude.
It's just like, what the f-? And then trying to navigate getting older in general.
Yeah.
You know, which I mean, we all, I think, deal with. It's hard. It's weird getting older. We're all trying to navigate our own shit, our own life. And then
in the genres we subscribe to, I don't think that makes it easier to get older either. You know what I mean?
No. So it's just going to go away? Oh, no. You can't. Oh.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a miracle. I always say this, but it's just a miracle we're still here.
Totally,
I can't believe it. And you guys is, I mean, you're playing like the. Do you think you're playing the biggest venues guys have ever even played?
Yes, on this next tour, yeah. I mean, thanks to you guys, but yeah, this tour.
When we're not headlining, you are.
I don't think everybody's coming just to see us. I'm pretty sure about that, but yeah, it's that this next tour is the biggest headliner that. We have ever done by far. Like, it's
crazy.
Terrifying.
Is it? It's good.
Dude, 100. Yeah, I'm fucking scared out of my mind.
Yes.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's what I want to hear. Fuck yeah, dude.
Dude, yeah.
That's cool.
Not confident. No. It's terrifying, dude. Yeah. I mean, if we were going out playing like 500 cap clubs, then I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Let's go sell these out.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I mean, some like take Leipzig, for instance. That'll be the biggest headlining show.
Of your career?
Of our career.
Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, House Ansi is what, like 3,500 cap, 3,000 cap? I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Over three. It has a three in front of it. So like,
damn.
Either that's insane.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's like, that's scary, dude. That's crazy.
It's scary, but it's also exciting.
Yeah. And a lot of the venues, like they're all like the next level up from the last tour we did, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, fuck it, let's go. I mean, it's the hardest package. Like, it's so funny. Tom, he plays guitar for Stray. He manages us. We were talking the other day, and it's so funny to me because when he and I were thinking about, like, okay, what do we want this tour to be, like the headliner, this exact lineup, we said, like, okay, dream lineup, Suicide Silence, Kublai Khan, Paleface. Literally, like, I probably still have the text from like a year ago when we first started, like, or like 9 months ago when we first started thinking about it, you know?
Yeah.
And then it actually happened, which is even more insane. Like,
that never happens.
Never happens, dude. Never happens. You've built 1,000 headliners before. Is the lineup you go out with the lineup you thought
you? It's like the last fucking.
It's actually the one that you didn't even think up. It's the one that like your manager or your agent calls you like, hey, actually, everyone else said no, so now we have this, you know? And it's like, that's what I was expecting. It's crazy to have like been able to put together the lineup that you actually wanted.
How did it happen?
I mean, first step was you guys. Mm-hmm. I called you.
Mm-hmm.
You and I just talked, actually. Which I was tripping on because I was like, I can't believe I'm going to call Suicide Silence. Like, I feel like a fucking idiot. I was like, this guy's going to want to murder me. Like, that's literally what I'm pretty sure I'd have like Tom or Wally, our guitar player, like probably hype me up or something before I called you.
Because
I was
really?
Like, I feel like Suicide Silence. I mean, yeah.
It's cool.
So, and I'm pretty sure it took me like a good 45 seconds to actually ask you. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, you guys are the, and I like had to set it up, you know? But,
goodness, dude. Oh, my goodness.
First had to do that, and then Kublai Khan, like we've been friends with them for a long time, and mm-hmm. Scott Lee, their manager, managed us for a long time. And so that was, and we had taken them out before in Europe on a headliner. And so like our camps are pretty close. That wasn't like too difficult. Paleface originally couldn't do it. They were going to do a different tour. Mm. And we were like, fuck. And then that tour like canceled and just like fell through.
Right to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like,
meant to be, dude.
So we got pretty lucky on that one. But like, what a nuts lineup. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
Hard, it's the hardest. Yeah, it's crazy.
The lineup is great.
It's crazy.
And what's crazy about you and Lionheart is like, you don't really know about your band unless you know about your band. Like,
totally.
So for me, like approaching like, like the rest of the guys are like, what? I had to like convince them. Yeah, like,
this is why I felt funny calling you and asking, because it is true. It's like like the most known unknown or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, your fans know you in Germany and Europe. Like, oh, this is massive.
Yeah,
but explain,
dude, totally.
Then like, I didn't know until I did like extensive research on you.
Yeah, dude.
I didn't know. I was like, oh shit. I mean, they're playing massive fucking shows and out across the ocean.
Yeah,
and I didn't know. So now, but now I know from it, looking into it after a few hours of doing research.
Yeah.
So I had to tell the guys, trust me. Yeah. Like these. This is a different story across the planet.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a trip, dude. It's
Ernie got it.
Yeah.
Our drummer. He knows pretty much every band. And
hell yeah. 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 I mean, surprised. Like it's a trip, dude. I can't, the lineup is crazy and the shows are selling wild, like, yeah, we just did that post the other day with you guys. Thank mm-hmm. you. And yeah, a bunch of the shows are already at like 75%.
Wow,
sold. I'm like, the fuck, like,
dang, what's
like, why did they think they were? Did they mean to click on Knocked Loose or something? Like, mm-hmm. you know. So,
but people that know, especially behind the scenes, people that know about your band know.
Yeah,
if they don't know, they have no fucking idea.
Totally. Because we're not like,
this is how it works.
We haven't been on like a big label. We haven't been like cool. We're not, you know, but like, you know,
it's bizarre.
The people are showing up. So I don't get it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Why is I asked you last time, why is hardcore bigger out there?
Dude, I don't know. It's funny too, because even in America, it's like, it appears big sometimes online. Like on Instagram, hardcore can appear big in the States. Mm-hmm. But it's like, the fests are big, but then the shows outside of a couple bands, like they're still mm-hmm. doing 150 to 250, maybe 350 kids, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like across the country, outside of like a few major markets where they can pull off like some bigger shows, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's like you have your pockets of like big fests, you're For the Children, you're FYA, you're blah, blah, blah. You already know the drill. Like, you have your fest and they smash. But outside of that, it's not that big, save five bands, you know?
Sure.
In Europe, it's just different. I just think the culture around music is different out there. And, like, I also don't think it's as, like, you'll see when we go out there. I mean, we've been a hardcore band since we started, but you can't do a couple thousand, like, people a night just hardcore kids. You know what I mean? Like, they don't even exist. So it's, like, festival people are going, like, all sorts of people. It's different. Like, it's so many different types of people. It's really interesting.
It is.
Yeah, it's very interesting, dude.
Are you bringing out Valley of Death for this one?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
That's sick.
My all-time favorite song, dude.
Yeah, it's dope.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you had these lyrics for, like, years, and you didn't even have, like, you couldn't find a song to put them in, huh?
Exactly, yeah. I wrote Valley of Death, like, the lyrics to Valley of Death, probably 10 years before the Valley of Death album, and I just didn't have anywhere to put him, and I was like, it's probably the same, like, when you write a riff or something and you're like almost protective of it, you know?
Yeah,
you're like, I'm not throwing this isn't gonna be like a filler riff, I'm not letting this get buried, and you save it till it's the right for the right song, you know? That's how I was with those lyrics. I was just like, oh no, I love these, I don't care if anybody else ever likes them, I love them, I'm saving them till, like, I have the song that I want to have, you know? So
why are they your favorite lyrics?
I don't know. To be honest, I liked the flow. I felt like it was, like, my most honest, you know, the most honest version of that type of moment, you know? 'Cause I've been writing about all of that forever. It's like 90% of my lyrics are about, you know, similar topics or, you know, around that space, you know, depression, mental health, whatever. And so it's just like anything. Sometimes you feel like you did a good job at it, and sometimes you're like, okay, it's like a passing grade. You know, I probably could have explained it differently or framed it differently. That song, for some reason, I just felt connected to it. I just felt like I told the story exactly how I wanted to tell the story. That's, like, not always easy. Sometimes the story, like, you're, like, forced. You have to force a line in, or you have to, you know, you don't have all the options you want to have because you're trying to make the words fit into the song, you know? In this case, sure. I had already written the words, and I had written it exactly how I wanted to write it, and so I just felt like I did what I wanted to do in it. Yeah.
So that's crazy. There's no really reason.
No. I don't think it's like the best Lionheart song or something. It's just my favorite because I think that it's me at my most honest, and it's just a story. There's no chorus. There's no, like, it's just, you know?
A minute 30 banger.
Yeah, done. Done. But I'm from the old school. I love a good intro, you know what I mean? People aren't rocking intros anymore.
It's true. It's going straight in.
Yeah. I love the intros, dude. So.
Yeah, people right now are just fucking. You know, it's got to have a little bit of foreplay, man, you know?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree, dude. I agree. So here we are.
Or maybe like the intro just needs to be really, it needs to hook you in somehow.
Yeah.
You know, it needs to. Because that's actually the hardest thing to do also, like, just stripping away what's not needed. Surprisingly, that's very difficult. Very, very difficult.
I mean, even, like, I feel like...
Well, I can only imagine for lyrics, you actually have an actual story that you're probably trying to convey.
Yeah. And it's so funny because it's like those songs never end up being the biggest songs, you know? Like... Like, Valley of Death it's bigger now, but when it came out, like, I tried to make it a single. It was like the lead off single of that of the album Valley of Death. Yeah.
Huh.
And I don't think it didn't really work at the time, you know? And so in retrospect, probably, but it's like, dude, you know how it is when you're a band. It's like I feel like you're constantly making a decision of like, okay, when you're choosing a song like that, or even when you're choosing your set list, it's like, okay, do I want to play what I want to play because I think it's awesome? Or do I play like what I know other people want to hear, you know? And that was like when I tried to have Valley of Death be the lead off single for the album Valley of Death, I was just like, you know what? I fucking like this song. Like, this is my shit. Lead off single. And didn't work.
Yeah.
You know? And so
it's a nice ego check sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's good now. I mean, it's your top 10.
Dude, now it's crazy. Now it's in the top 10 on Spotify. So I'm like, all right, cool. Maybe I was ahead of my time. You know? That's what I like to think. But
sometimes things creep up and you can't.
It's crazy.
You don't know, or like you might put out a record and then they'll go back and then they'll connect to this song. You just don't fucking know, dude.
I also think like it's the same with any band. It's like with Lionheart, if you know parts of my story and you know what I speak about and you know how I feel about mental health or behavioral health in general, and then you hear that song, you're like, okay, this makes sense, you know? And so I think that you kind of need that context for it to add up for the listener sometimes, you know?
Yeah, sometimes they need context.
Yeah. So you know, maybe that's just where it's at now.
Hey, Jay, do me a favor. Play that clip I told you to play and fucking crank it. Crank this shit.
What do we got?
I'm going to test something.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned.
Raise your hand if you know somebody that's struggling with depression.
You mentioned. Hey, Jay. You mentioned.
That was Hellfest.
In France, right?
Yeah.
Sick, dude. That's a sick festival, dude.
Yeah.
You mentioned bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something that you dealt with?
Yeah, I think I had diagnosed bipolar when I was. I actually don't remember. Young, like kid, like middle school or something, you know? Yeah.
Really?
Dude, I was, and this was like a wild time too, because I was a kid during, you know, 90s, early 2000s or whatever. And that's when, like, at my recollection of it, at least, was when I feel like the pills started to get more and more popular. And they were just like, parents were being told to like put their kids on this and put their kids on that, and it was like I felt like pill mania, you know?
That sucks.
And so it's like, dude, I think I was on everything you could be on, you know?
What were you on?
Dude, I don't even remember. Effexor was one that like just didn't work well for me. I don't know. I was on a ton of, dude, I was on everything. And then like, you know, all the bullshit, like the like, I don't even, that's not even a, I honestly can't even remember. Yeah, because I was probably like 10, 11, 12, like, I don't remember, you know? Effexor I was on later on, and it just, like, didn't, that fucked with my mind in a weird way, too. I just, like, now I'm not on anything, so.
Yeah, you're right. There was, like, a time where they were really pushing, like, your kid has ADD, or is your kid?
Yeah, like, I feel like there was, like, an ADD explosion, and then, like, everybody was on, like, Ritalin, and then Adderall, and then all that, like, it was crazy time.
I can't do. I'm terrified of Adderall. Terrified of it.
Oh, that shit's wild, dude. Especially like as a kid. Like I'm not saying it's not. It doesn't make sense for some people. Of course it does. You know, but it's also Yeah.
10. You're a kid. You're a child.
Yeah. The way I experienced it was there wasn't a ton of. I don't think there was a lot of oversight. So in the prescribing process.
So you're a child, and then what, like your mom's like, I think he's bipolar, or
no, it's like it happens at the school at least for me, it was happening at like the school level, you know, like you're getting in trouble, you're not performing well in class, or they're noticing behaviors that are inconsistent with what they would expect for a kid at that age level, right? Class level. And so, you know, they could go through any number of, I think there's school psychs at like every school, you know, so they'll go through all these other different processes. They'll evaluate you, put you through a series of tests to determine what resources you may or may not need. They may talk to your parents, may suggest you see somebody outside of school. Like, there's a lot of different routes that you could go.
And that was it. And then, so the school says this, and then that, yeah. And then in turn from that, okay, now you're seeing an actual doctor.
Yeah.
And they,
like, a school psych's not going to, like, a school psych evaluates you for a set of resources you may or may not have access to or need. They don't diagnose you, so to speak.
Okay.
You know, they would tell you that you need to see somebody outside of, they would suggest to your parents that you need to see somebody outside of school, and then you would do that.
And you're diagnosed with bipolar.
Yeah. Fuck. Bipolar, like, then they, I, what was, oppositional defiant disorder. It's like, it sounds made up, but
what
actually
is that?
I don't know. I Googled it like a couple years ago because I was like, I wonder if that was made up. Apparently it's a real thing. I think it's just like another name for like being an asshole, I guess. To be honest, like, I don't know. I feel like that's honestly like a time where, like, yeah, and they said that ADD and ADHD and like all these different stuff, you know, like they were just like applying it to any kid that had any problem, you know? You get Ritalin and you get Adderall and you get this and you get that, and you know, and it's like
just call your kid a FA, a fucking asshole. Your kid is diagnosed with FA, a fucking asshole.
It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. Crazy.
Bipolar. What are the symptoms of that?
I mean, it could vary for anybody. It's just and it's gonna be different for everybody. I think like as life progressed, that was less of an issue for me, and it was more just like a, I guess, like a general general depression that I had dealt with. And I just never responded well to, there was never like a pill or a prescription that made me feel better. It always seemed to make it worse. And I'm not advocating for people not taking medication or something like that for, I mean, these are all diseases that in a lot of cases make a lot of sense to take medication for, and people should take that seriously. For me, it just, and I'm not sure if it was a medication thing in general or if the dosage wasn't right or if the prescription was right or what the case was, but for me, I never responded well to it, and it brought out the worse sides in me, you know. It made things a lot more difficult. So
what were the side effects?
I mean, for me, like in my, I can't even remember what I was on specifically, but in my like late teens, yeah, I like whatever I was on then made me far more like violent in a way. It was weird, dude. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, it was just a very bad, dark time. So,
damn.
Yeah, it's crazy. And again, it's just like the same dosage of the same prescription may work wonders and save one person's life, and it may throw somebody else into a tailspin. You know, it's just like that's the nature of,
it's true,
that type of beast, you know? And so, for me, it didn't feel right, and I felt myself being an even worse version of myself than I was trying to get away from. And so, I think once I turned 18, I wasn't on it. I just stopped all of it. And
so you're talking at least like 8 years
of being, yeah. That's why it's like That's why it's like, man, it's like hard to even say what I was on. Like I'm serious. I was probably on everything you could imagine being on, you know? So depression medication, anxiety medications, bipolar medications, like ADD medication, everything. It's all different, you know what I mean? They all do different things. And so And it's like you go to one doctor, it doesn't work. You try another one, and like half of them, like, dude, they're seeing so many fucking people. They don't give a shit, you know? Like, that was also a different time for, like, big pharma as well. There wasn't any rules. Like,
That's true.
There wasn't any rules. It was like the pills they were prescribing were based on, like, who had the best looking, like, female sales reps and who was taking doctors out to fucking dinner and stuff.
My goodness.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like, I'm not like saying that's every doctor or something, but yeah, like a lot of people had poor experiences in the prescription world because they were either inauthentically evaluated or inauthentically prescribed or whatever.
Like, can you remember like what you were like? I mean, let's say high school. Can you remember what you were thinking and feeling like on all that shit?
No, because also, like, I don't think I understood the impacts of, like, I got to take some ownership, obviously, you know. I don't think I wasn't always taking things in the way that I was being prescribed, because if I wasn't feeling good on it or if I wasn't feeling right, then I would pause taking it. And then I would, you know, they'd try to start me somewhere else. And so you never really, like, it takes a long time for your body to get used to some of those medications. At least that's like what some, again, for some people, that's how they experience it, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you're constantly pausing and changing up how, like, that's not, your body's not going to react to it in the way that it's supposed to react anyway. So the whole thing was bad. So it's like, if you ask me if I remember how I felt on that, not really, because for most of my high school, like, I was probably switching between like medications in a weird way. Like,
I can't even imagine.
So it's just like, it was never right, you know? It was never right. It was just weird, dude. That's why I say it, like, it did more harm than good, you know?
Yeah. How was your time in high school? Because just being a kid is already hard. Just being in high school is fucking hard. And to add on top of that,
I didn't really go. So,
where'd you go? Where were you?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I had a pretty wild, I guess my education trajectory is abnormal. I ended up getting my GED, long story short. The last grade I completed in school was ninth grade.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the last grade you completed?
Yeah. Although I did go twice.
You went that grade twice?
Yeah.
You were that guy.
I doubled up. I was like, you know, this is kind of chill. I think I may hit this one more time. Let's run it back. Okay. It was not cool the second time.
Fuck, that sucks.
Actually, I don't even... Did I? No, wait. I honestly can't even remember now. But the last grade I completed was ninth grade.
Why did they keep you back a year?
I just wasn't doing my work. Like, I just didn't participate, you know? I was in a bad place, you know? And for whatever reason, I just wasn't able to, I wasn't able to make it work, you know? And yeah, the family was going through a lot of like transition then as well, if I'm remembering correctly. There was times we didn't in between places, you know what I mean? And so single mom, two kids, like that whole thing, and in between homes, and that it wasn't like going to school wasn't my first priority, you know? So, yeah, eventually ended up getting my GED. So didn't actually, like, complete high school, but did end up getting my MBA from Kellogg, which is, like, a top three school in the world. So
complete opposite.
It works out sometimes. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So what was going on when you were – supposed to be a sophomore, and so you complete the ninth grade for the second time than what happened around there?
Yeah, we just like there's a lot of stuff going on at home. We my mom and my stepdad at the time had broken up, so we were kind of like in between places, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a little bit of a wild time. And I just wasn't like school wasn't what I was going to do then, you know. We didn't have any money, like we didn't have anywhere to like stay in a hotel sometimes, like doing the whole thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And so one of my other friends was like in landscaping and got me a job, and I was like, all right, this is cool. Like, so I just started working.
Gee, well, you're probably 14?
I was like 15, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Already working full time.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that at least probably kept you out of trouble.
15, 16, yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Were you drinking back then or no?
No.
Thank God.
I didn't have my first drink till I was 28.
28, really?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Holy fuck.
Also not straight edge before you ask me.
Okay.
I just didn't drink. Like,
how did you go on such a, like, what sounds like such a chaotic life? How did you go on without drinking?
I think I just, like, saw a lot of, I had a lot of close friends growing up that were addicts, drugs and alcohol. And one of my best friends in the world was, and pretty severe alcoholic and a drug addict. And I spent a lot of time when I was a teenager, like, going to AA with him or NA with him to support him. You know what I mean?
In your teens?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And so, like, during that same time, right? Like, when I was, like, 15 or 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think it would have felt weird, you know, to, like, go to AA with your best friend or NA with your best friend 3 to 5 days a week and then turn around and drink. Like, I was never not drinking because I was against drinking. I just genuinely didn't have the urge because of what I had seen going on around me, you know?
You were seeing it firsthand.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and he struggled with, like, a lot of people I grew up struggled with a lot of that, but, yeah. And so, yeah, he had a lot of drug issues and alcohol issues, and they eventually got the best of him, led him to make some pretty poor choices, and now he's doing 35 years behind a murder charge. So it's, like, crazy, you know?
Oh, my God.
And so that shit's nuts. That was, yeah.
And probably from your... like, perspective, he was, like, a cool guy. He was super chill. He was trying to get better.
Dude, he's a beautiful person. He's one of the most beautiful people that I know, you know? And it's more sad, too. That story is incredibly sad. But it was crazy afterwards, too, because I remember... dude is nuts. It was, like, on the news. There was, like, a nationwide manhunt. The FBI fucking came to my house.
No.
Like, dude, yeah. It was when I was living in California. Actually, at that point, I had already moved to California. I was probably, like, 19 or something. Yeah, 19 or 20. I don't know. I was, like, young, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't living in California anymore. And the FBI came to my house to ask me if I had, like, had any contact with him in the last couple of days. And I was like, what? No, why? Like, I don't know. We hadn't talked that week or something, you know? They asked me a bunch of questions. And then it turns out they're on a fucking manhunt for him, like, across the country because he had, made some poor choices. It's crazy. And so anyway, after they finally caught him, I went and visited him. Like, I went and visited him a ton, like, in jail and then in prison, yada yada yada. Well, I was at the trial, like, did all that stuff, you know. And it's like, I think that stuff is always sad because sad for everybody involved, you know. Like, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Obviously, sad for the victim and anybody who knew the victim and whatever other direct and indirect impacts like stem from that, no mm-hmm. doubt. I think it's also sad for me personally, knowing this person, saying, hey, like, it's wild to watch somebody beat two people, you know? Like, the person he is now is not the same person that committed that crime and did those things. You know, like when heroin or alcohol or any type of drug or whatever has a hold on you, if you've ever known anybody that's been through that, like, that is not them. You know, I don't think they have true agency. They don't have power over themselves. They are in a, they made the choice to be there, obviously, but at that point, they're taken somewhere else, you know? And so it's fucked up to see, like, somebody sitting there almost paying for the crimes of somebody else. Like, they're just not the same person. And so it's just a sad, it's a sad thing to watch, you know? Like, the juxtaposition of those two things, I think, is just, yeah, it's a wild thing to watch.
Yeah, what do you think that is? You think it was just a...
I wrote a bunch of songs about him, too. And again, anybody else who's ever followed, like, Lionheart, 30 Years was written about him. Brother's Keeper was written about him. Escalante was written about him. I tried to write a song from almost every album. So,
I mean, it sounds like he was one of, like, a very good friend of yours.
Oh, he's my best friend. Yeah. Absolute best friend.
Oh, man. I've always, like, I think about that. Like, what makes people make those kind of choices?
I mean, for him, it was drugs. I mean, because I you know, we've been best friends forever. I grew up with them, and I mean, he's my brother, you know, and like, dude, I mean, we've been everywhere together, done everything together, and I've seen all these different versions of him, you know, like when he's clean and when he's sober for, and he's on a good stretch, like a good 6 month stretch, you know, and for anybody listening that doesn't know somebody who's gone through that, you're probably thinking 6 months, like, that doesn't sound like a major deal. If you've known somebody that struggled, 6 months can be a long time, and it's certainly enough time for them, for their personality to change and for them to be a different person, right? And so, anyway, seeing them in that state where they're kind of pure and they're themselves again, and then seeing them revert back to this person that you don't even know, you know? Like, that's just a wild thing to witness over and over and over again, because this was like a constant.
It's a constant thing, right?
Constant, dude. And I think a lot of people know somebody like that, unfortunately, and it's like.
How many times did he go to rehab?
Oh, dude. I mean, I truly don't know. More than 5 times.
I always wonder, like, what makes people go back? Especially when they have these, like, lengths of success.
Yeah.
And then they just go back all the time. I'm always like, what is that?
Yeah, it's, at least from my experience, they just have triggers, you know? And I'm not an addict. I don't know what that feels like. So I guess it's hard to comment on it, but from what I've seen and what I've lived with and been a part of, I mean, that's who I moved to California with. When we were 18, we got in a car and drove to California together, you know?
Fuck.
And so it's like,
that is heavy,
you know?
That is sad.
Yeah, it was, dude.
It's probably hard to comment on, but do you think some people just don't change?
I don't know. I think it's your, and this is obviously like there's a lot of sides to this coin as well, or this argument. And I am and again, this, a lot of people are going to feel differently. I am a big believer in the product of your environment.
Yeah.
Side of the argument. I think there's one side that's kind of the, oh, everybody has a choice and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and anybody can be anything and all this. And sure, that's totally true, totally valid. I think I'm a version of that story. Last grade I completed was 9th grade. I got my fucking GED. And then fast forward a decade, I get my MBA from Kellogg, one of the best schools in the entire world. Fine, cool. What they're not recognizing, though, is that you still start from different starting points.
Okay.
That's the difficulty. Yeah, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can do this, you can do that, that's fine. But I think everybody ultimately is a product of their environment, and you start at different starting places. Like, a lot of people have head starts. People have different, it depends on how you grow up, all these different things. So it's like, this person, for instance, he was dealt different bad hands early. He started at a different starting place. He found himself in scenarios where it was normalized to make decisions like trying heroin for the first time, or like drinking when you're too, you know what I'm saying? Like, not everybody is in a scenario where it's normalized to say, yes, I'll try heroin for the first time. Like, that's not normal for a lot of people, right? Not because you know better or you don't know better, but because your environment dictates the context in which you're living in, you know? And your ability to make quote unquote good decisions, or your ability to recognize what's normal and what's not normal. And so I think that plays a part into it for sure. You still ultimately make your own decisions. So I don't want to like say there's not ownership on either, either side. You know, you make a bad decision, make a bad decision, but there's that. And then alcoholism, drug addiction, those are diseases, you know, like there's, your body's having a chemical reaction to things that you put in it. So yeah, you made the choice to put that in your body. You made a choice to do that for sure, but it's a disease. Like, you don't get to just wake up and change, you know? Like, you can change being an asshole or not, you know? Like,
true.
It's annoying when you see somebody who's just a dick.
Yeah.
That's like a changeable habit, you know?
Yes, that's very true.
You know what I mean? Or like, like, that to me is changeable. Wearing two polos at one time, that's changeable. You don't got to be a dick like that, you know? Okay. Like, you don't got to do that. But I think, you know, playing those headless guitars, I hate those. You don't got to do that. I don't know if I struck a chord with you right now, but I see that, I'm mad. You don't got to do that. That's a changeable, that person can change if they really try.
I feel like an asshole when I judge it.
I judge it immediately. If I see like, one
that's
of those,
fucking ugly, dude.
It's terrible, dude. But that person I do believe can change. Okay. I don't think that's a disease. It's close. It's close. And there's probably some disease component to it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think that person can change. Folks that are like dealing with real issues, I don't know, man. That's hard.
Yeah, that's hard. But weren't
yes,
you guys-
they can, obviously. There's a lot of people that do. I think it's just, and I don't want to sound like I'm like apologizing for somebody that has clearly made poor decisions and made poor decisions consistently. There has to be ownership there. But there's parts of it that are just really difficult, you know, and really hard to watch, especially when you love somebody.
It's always a weird stance that you have with something extreme when it's someone you know very closely, like a best friend or a brother or a sister. It's very different. It's different when like it's like you read a headline or you watch the news or you hear your friends dealing with this. So you're just like, but when you just see it,
it's easy to judge.
It's just, man.
It's hard when it's your own people, though, dude. Yeah. I mean, and it's crazy. It's sad, dude. It's fucked up, and I never really talk about it. I mean, I tried to write a song for him on basically every album until it got, like, repetitive, you know? But
I was curious but weren't you guys from the same area?
No. He was actually, no, we were not from the same area.
Okay.
We grew up in different spots, but we met at a juvenile's retreat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn, okay.
Yeah.
What is that like?
A little Club Med for bad boys. And so.
Really?
Yeah, so when we were both like super young and we were just like attached ever since then, you know? It's like,
oh shit.
You know? We were just like, okay, we're one, you know? And it's like it helped us both kind of get through that environment, and you kind of got to team up, you know what I mean? And so I don't know, it's so funny, dude. Like, I still remember it. I think about it all the time. Like, I remember being at this young men's retreat, you know, and this little Club Med for juveniles, and sitting there doing my thing, probably thinking about how to climb the fucking walls or something. And I just saw him walk in, like he was getting, I think I got there a couple days before him, you know? So I was still new, you know? Mm-hmm. I saw him get like dropped in, and I don't know, we just like looked at each other and we're like, we're the same.
Just
we're gonna be buds.
Just new.
Just new.
Sometimes you just know.
Dude, it was one of those things. Crazy. It was like, all right, let's go. And so, yeah, we just partnered up and got through it. Both got, you know, both were out at the same time, roughly. And then just, like, we just stayed pals, stayed close, did our thing, moved out to California together, and, yeah. I supported him when we were out, like I said, like going to AA with him, going to NA with him, doing all that. And so, yeah, it just didn't feel right to do any of that while you were like trying to like hold someone else's hand through
it.
So, yeah, I didn't have my first drink till I was 28. Crazy.
Well, what was your first drink like?
Dude, such a ridiculous first drink. My it's insane first drink. My first drink was a White Russian because I loved The Big Lebowski.
It's a good one.
It's an insane first drink. I may be the only person on the planet whose first drink was a White Russian. So I just remember thinking like this kind of just tastes like weird milk.
Yeah.
I wasn't that impressed, to be honest with you.
But Namibic will get you fucked up. You have three of them.
I mean, you're donezo for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah, you're out. You're on another planet.
The White Russian, dude.
Yeah. Weird first drink.
Why? Because they were just, you were at some bar, they were just.
I didn't know what to work, because I'm like an adult and I've never drank. So it was like a weird, I don't know what to, you know?
What was the occasion?
There wasn't one. I literally woke up one day and I was, at that point, I was only drinking because I hadn't drank. I mean, I was only not drinking because I hadn't drank. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There was no longer any reason. Like
okay.
There was nothing left. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just felt like I was, like I'm going to, I don't know. Like I was just not missing out. I don't think it's like that extreme, but kind of, you know?
It's like, man, I'm 28.
Yeah. It's like, why am I still doing this? You know?
I've been hearing about these White Russians.
Dude.
I'm going to drink it.
Yeah. The dude looks like he's having a good time. What's my deal?
Yeah. And then less than 10 years later, you're out at a show drinking shots of tequila.
I do love tequila.
Yeah.
Big agave guy. Tequila and mezcal. Yeah. That's all I drink.
It's apparently made for a good show.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. No, that's all. Yeah, that's all I drink. Love it, dude.
How many did you have that night?
At House of Blues?
Yeah.
I didn't have that much. I was trying to be on good behavior.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I wanted to not suck. To be honest with you. So maybe only a couple.
A couple?
Yeah,
okay.
I was chilling. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, two. Maybe four.
I thought you were casually raging because I saw you at the bar.
So I was at, yes, that's true. Yeah.
I was like, okay, he's probably, this is going to be a good show.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, that was my first
Well, they didn't have the good stuff backstage, you know what I mean? They weren't hooking me up, so I had to go to the bar. I take matters in my own hands.
Yeah.
You know? I need my 1942. I'm not playing around, dude.
Okay.
And they actually had it at House of Blues. I was like, damn, that's
good. How much is a shot of that?
I actually remember it being cheap at House of Blues, cheap for 1942, which I thought was odd. I swear to God, it was like $25 or something.
For a shot?
Yeah. Just cheap for 1942, in my opinion. I mean, it should be like $40.
$40 for a shot?
Probably, yeah.
Holy, I mean, I do hear that the best alcohol to drink is like a shot just like that, like around like the 25 to 40 mark. Those kind of shots.
Yeah, I think once you go past that, it's bullshit, dude.
Yeah.
There's some, I mean, especially in like, I think in tequila too, it's interesting because all like the Clase Azules of the world, like all those super expensive ones, it's so sweet. Like it's too sweet. There's so much flavoring added in it. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's expensive just to be expensive. And you don't age like añejo tequila 3 to 4 years or something, maybe 5. Like it's not that deep, you know? So like a Reposado's 2 years.
Okay.
why is it so expensive? It's not like whiskey where you're aging it for like fucking 25 years or 50 years or something crazy. We're talking about 2 years for a repo. That's not that deep.
No.
Once you get past a certain point, it's just marketing and branding and like, plus those bottles, they're like hand painted, like Clos de Azul bottles are hand painted. A lot of those are. So you pay for that, you know? It's
like,
bullshit.
It's like, just give me the core of it. Just give me the good stuff.
Dude, there's a great Cava de Oro. It's probably my favorite. That's a great brand.
I've been looking at trying a different tequila because my band downs it, and I realized I was bougie like a couple months ago.
Love it.
Like we were just like, because they like doing, I mean, I'm there too. I'm doing like fucking three shots before a show.
Classic.
But this is the warm tequila. We usually get the rocks.
Yeah.
Which is a good, it's fine. Yeah. But I get to the point like sometimes when you're on tour for 2 weeks, and so you get the point like I want to throw up, and then
yeah,
and then I got home and went to some to get some pizza with a friend. He's like, you know, try this, and they chilled the shot and poured lime juice in it. Changed my life. I'm not doing shots anymore. Don't give me any shots.
I don't do shots.
I don't want it. You better come correct when you approach me. I want a fucking chilled dude. With lime. I'm not going back.
No, I don't want fucked. Shots, dude. I like it. I like a nice sipping tequila, a nice sipping mezcal.
Well, that is the way you do it. But
yeah.
You want a shot though.
No, I don't do the shot. I don't do the shots.
We're fucking doing a shot right now.
I mean, I'll do a shot. Yeah, sure. But that's the only bummer about being big in Europe. The tequila situation.
Oh yeah, it's rough.
Less than ideal.
It's rough, dude.
Dude.
It's not good. It's the one with the it's a red hat on top,
dude. Kill me.
And when we try. That's probably what started the
bro
puking
it
aspect.
It is so bad. That's the worst tequila on the planet. It's like $5 a bottle.
Europe doesn't like Mexicans.
They don't, dude.
They look at me like I'm a fucking
dude. They're not having it. And have you? What's this? There's a.
I'm kidding.
I mean, there's...
oh, shit.
Dude, well, it's funny. Like, I feel like their version of Mexican culture out there is crazy. Like, when they do have, like, a Mexican restaurant or, like, they'll have, like, Mexican drinks on, like, a bar menu, you know? Yeah. And it's always something insane. And you're like, I don't know how to describe it because it's so crazy. It just... It's, like, the worst version of, like, a Chevy's, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, whitewashed... Mexican times 1,000.
Yeah.
Destroyed.
It is kind of bizarre how long it took Mexican food to get out there. Remember when London got Chipotle? It was a massive deal, dude.
Dude.
We all went there. It was like, oh, shit, we're going to Chipotle.
Yeah, it just hasn't landed out there, dude. It's not the thing.
God, they got a Taco Bell in Amsterdam. Game changer.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah, and now you'll be like fucking random places like that, like Amsterdam or somewhere in Germany, you'll find like this random Mexican spot.
You'll
try a burrito. Obviously, you can't expect, but it is. You haven't had a burrito in 2 weeks,
dude. Taco Bell is still great.
Like you're fucking excited, dude.
Yeah, they had a Taco Bell. I think it was Barcelona. And I remember seeing it being like, holy shit, let's go. Shit, like, dude. Yeah, it's on.
You get really fucking horned up, dude.
Dude, like, there's no Taco Bells out there. It's crazy. Yeah, it's exciting.
Why? I wonder why it's taken so long for this culture to get out there.
I don't know, because there's more KFCs in Europe, I think, than anywhere else on the planet. It's like they're digging some of our stuff, but...
It's like they like West Coast hardcore. I mean, so obviously, they are getting some out there.
They're getting some, but yeah, the tequila situation, the Mexican food situation, it's not great out there, dude. It's going to be rough. We're going to have to bring our own stuff on this tour. You and me got to team up.
Dude, I'm going to bring a can of beans.
I mean, bring more than one. That's not going to last you very long.
Dude, a can of beans, dude.
Just a single can.
Yep.
All right.
Well, maybe I'll ship out some cheese.
Dude, a little queso fresco.
Dude, that'd be sick.
Yeah, that'd be fucking nuts, dude.
midnight, just drunk. I was just kind of being sounding really good.
This is gonna, you're not gonna believe me when I say this, but I'm gonna say it anyway, okay. And I stand by this.
Mm-hmm.
I make the best huevos rancheros on the planet.
I don't doubt it.
You should doubt it. It's not. I shouldn't make the best huevos rancheros on the planet, but I do. I stand by it. Very confident about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, dude. It's my favorite thing to make in the whole world.
Well, you're gonna make it out in Germany. I'm sorry.
I mean, I wish I could, dude. I don't think they don't have the ingredients, dude.
Well, you need eggs, chips.
Good. Can you? Queso fresco is what made me think of it because I always dribble some of that on there.
Well, just get a fucking, just get a thing of cheese. Just put it in the fucking toilet or something. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's crazy. I remember going to a liquor store, like a big liquor store, in. I want to say it was Essen. It was like before a tour. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go to a liquor store. I'm going to buy my own mezcal, you know, my own tequila, whatever I can find. I'm going to buy a couple bottles of good stuff, bring it with me. I'll be set, you know? That way I don't get the fucking Red Hat tequila, you know?
Oh, fuck. It's already... I already see it happening, dude.
They didn't have shit. I went to like a big whatever. I don't know what the name of it is, obviously. It was like a big liquor store in Essen. Nothing. Nothing. They had Casamigos. That's it.
Hmm.
That was their whole tequila and their whole agave selection was Casamigos tequila and a Casamigos mezcal. That was it.
We're just gonna get fat. Whatever.
We're gonna have to bring our own shit, dude.
What's the name of your bass player?
Ricky.
Ricky. He was raging. When I saw him, say, "Where are you? Where are we? Are we gonna party? Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool." It was like,
he drinks a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I know this is sick.
Yeah.
And Dan Kane are going to get along too well.
Who?
Him and our bass player, Dan, are going to get along a little bit too well.
Yeah, that's a dangerous combo.
Well, bass players, you don't have any responsibilities.
Well, I was just talking to our guitar player, Wally. He also does all the TMing on the tour. And we were redoing our rider today. And he put in big red letters, like giant red capital letters on the rider, only give the alcohol to the TM.
Oh, no.
We have to control it ourselves.
Yeah.
That's where we are now.
Okay.
That's where we are now. Yeah. You got to ask for a shot, you know, and we'll pour it. Yeah. Oh,
fuck.
Yeah. That's
where you're at.
Controlled environment.
That's where you're at right now.
Dude, it is what it is.
It's funny because we hide our liquor because we don't like when we like sharing, but when you give humans an inch, they start just pouring shots when we're fucking playing the fucking show.
God forbid you got a few people on the guest list, they're backstage, all of a sudden your bottles are gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean that's why we get more alcohol on our rider is to because when those guests you give them the beers and here's take as many shots like you want a shot for your girlfriend or here's your cousin.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's going to have too many beers.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, you got to be a good host.
That's true. I do need to find a way to bring my own shit for us. That would be nice.
We need ice.
I mean, luck finding ice in Europe.
Is there limes out there?
You can find ice outside, but not in any restaurant.
It's going to be freezing in February. Yeah,
it's going to be horrible, dude.
I got a coat ready. I got my coat. It's gonna be sick.
You've already packed your coat. This is true. This is a very Orange County conversation.
It is.
Tours in a month, and we're like, we already got our coats ready.
Got the fucking coats are ready, dude. I'm coat up.
I need to. Yeah, I don't think I have like a real like winter jacket.
You need at least one.
I mean, yeah, but yeah.
You don't need it. You got the muscles. You got the West Coast one, two, and three muscles, dude.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as we said before, I could guarantee you, Rob might take off his shirt in respect to the Lifer video.
Yes.
Just out of pure respect. And 60% of the time, it works every time.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. There's 100% chance that every night somebody will tell me that I was bigger in the Lifer video than I am now.
So. You kind of appreciate the honesty, though.
Dude, it's crazy. It's like, yeah, man. Yeah. Yes, I was 22 once. But and didn't have a job other than playing music. So yeah, I spent all day at the gym.
So they say you look bigger.
Yeah.
But you're smaller, which is good. Because usually it's the opposite, right? It's your, you got, it means.
I think I'm actually bigger now, which is the funniest part about that.
Oh, so you're getting fatter.
Thank you.
Okay, so.
Yeah, probably. That's, yeah, that's probably what it is, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's tough, dude. It's just.
Can't have it all, man.
Where did we, I know.
Can't have it all.
I always have a joke with my girlfriend. I mean, my dreams of having a six pack, the moment you get into a relationship, yeah. It makes it pretty much impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
Your dream of a six pack will be a far distant memory that you'll never, ever get back
but
to.
But you got this gorgeous long hair, dude. And there's no grays. What's the deal? You dyeing your shit or what?
No, I'm getting I'm getting grays, strands.
How old are you?
38. So I got a few
See, I'm 37. Look at my shit. It's crazy. You're 38, you got no, but you're Mexican, that's different.
I do have good genes. I'm very lucky. I'm very, very lucky. Seems family seems to keep their hair. I kept my stress relatively low, and that comes from not giving a fuck.
I should try that.
It's weird. It's a weird like balance. You want to. It's a balance of caring a lot where you have to, but also at the complete opposite side. I don't give a fuck about any of this.
Yeah.
It's like a weird. And there's also things in the middle you can't control, like responsibilities. How are you gonna pay rent? Where is the next date? You know, so there's like normal stuff that gives you the gray hairs, but it's to like give no one to give a fuck and no one not to give a fuck.
I got way too many gray hairs. I was looking at my it's crazy, dude. Way too many gray hairs.
You look good.
No, dude, somebody thought I can't remember where I was the other day. I literally don't even know where this was, but somebody was like, people were being obnoxious. Guessing people's ages.
Sure.
And somebody guessed that I was like fucking 42 or something. I was like, what?
Nice.
Like, what the fuck? Not that anything wrong with being 42, but it's like, goddamn, come on. 37, easy. You know? Like, easy, buddy. I'm not 42.
You look good, man.
I don't know.
You look fine.
What do you got written down in your diary there? You got a lot of notes, dude.
We covered everything. Actually, this particular notebook is pretty cool. Like, you were the, first three pages of this one.
Holy shit.
And now we're at the end of this one. It's kind of a cool way to kind of close this one off.
Wild.
It's wild, man.
Wild.
My lady asked me what was my favorite memory of the year, and I didn't have one. I couldn't remember anything. So
that's a hard question.
It is.
Favorite memory of 23.
Yeah. Do you have one?
Favorite memory of 23.
It's hard. It's hard when you start thinking about it.
It's really hard.
It took me like 4 days to come up with an answer. So you gotta feel bad.
Yeah, dude, that's a rough one.
So you think about it, you put in so much information to your fucking brain for a year. So much information. You know, and this fucking thing was—it was a new somebody, another singer of the band every week. And it's this constant research. It's like there's so much research, just this information. And then when my girlfriend asked me, "What's your favorite memory of us the past year?" I was like, my brain was like, "Huh?"
Oh, your favorite memory of us, like, yeah, of you. Oh, that's even harder.
I felt as it was even harder.
Good luck, like, dude.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It hit me.
Trap.
It took me four. It's obviously a trap.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, trap. Obviously it's a fucking trap.
Yeah,
there is no right answer.
No,
but it took me 3 to 4 days to come up with a memory.
You could have just said like right now. Every day is better than the last with you.
Yeah, but I was fucking tired, dude. I'm
just gotta rattle off something, man. Yeah,
I'm good about
you're putting yourself in jail. There,
90% of the time, I'll fucking have a good answer. Yeah. Boom! But God, killed it right there.
You know
when you kill it, you're like, I was on it.
Yeah,
but. Sometimes it's just your gray hair is talking.
Yep.
You know?
I hear you.
And it was something simple, too. It was like we had dinner here. It was like a nice downtown meal. I was like, man, that was really nice. That was my favorite memory. It's always like the small things that tend to be my favorite memories. It's so small. It was a nice dinner.
Downtown Santa Ana is popping, dude.
Is it?
I feel like it is. Yeah, there's always a lot of. It feels like there's always a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's three blocks down, three four blocks down. They're trying to like expand the downtown. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rob, do you have any closing thoughts? Did I miss anything?
Nah, dude. I'm stoked. We're going on tour together. It's crazy. Like
it's cool.
Yeah, man. I feel I've a lot of things like just. But mainly just grateful, dude. It's crazy. I can't believe I get a tour with, obviously, Suicide Silence, Kubla Khan, Paleface. Like, how lucky, you know? It's an awesome lineup. And, yeah, we're lucky that we could make it work and we got to build that. And I think the shows are going to be nuts, dude. So I'm amped.
It's going to be a great tour, man. Yeah. And all it took was a phone call.
Dude, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
What's even more crazy is that it's even more rare to call somebody. You had to go to like a middle person to another middle person.
Well, I felt and like then, I thought about like, it, but I was like, okay, this is like too crazy of an ask. I got to call. Like, I didn't want to send a text out into outer space about it.
Sure.
Or like have someone's manager hit up somebody else's manager. And like, you know what I mean? It's like,
it
dude,
was kind of a rare occasion.
Yeah. Totally.
Let's just call this person. And
it's like, we got to do it old school. This is my guy. Let me just call him up and see if.
That is kind of a rare. I didn't even think about that until right now. That's kind of weird.
I don't remember the last time I did a tour where like somebody called me and was like, hey, do you want a tour? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I truly.
It's sad. It's kind of sad. But
it is sad. It's very weird.
Yeah.
But like, isn't that funny to think about? Like, I actually do not remember.
Yeah. Or the old classic, we want to tour you so fucking bad. We got to do it. And then you send the fuck.
Dude. The worst.
Like the most. It's almost every time.
Every time. Like you see somebody at a festival you don't even know. Like, oh, bro, we got a tour together. Oh, yeah, we got to make it happen. That'd be so sick. And then it's like.
Never happens either.
Yeah, see you in 10 years, dude. You know what I mean? And it's like, it literally never happens.
It never happens. But I'm glad it happened with us. I appreciate the phone call.
Dude.
I think more people need to call each other, you know?
I agree.
It's awesome.
Look at what tours can come out of it.
Crazy.
It's crazy, dude. Yeah.
I'm and if you're watching or listening, the dates are on the screen as we speak. And Rob.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you very much, dude.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right, everyone. That's it. Later.
Peace.